Okay, welcome to InPlainSight. Jeremy in Kentucky here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Please go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash the donate, send the fundage to keep free speech alive. This is your Wednesday night broadcast. I have moved spiritual health and wellness to Monday night. If you want to catch some fire and brimstone, King James pulpit pounding Bible preaching, go to the Monday night archive. I've moved that because tonight I have a special guest on. Tonight we have David Scorpio from his new show, the Scorpio International Holding Company, LLC, on Sunday, 5 p.m. Central on RBN. David, welcome to the show. How are you, my friend?
Greetings, Jeremy. I'm doing well. Glad to be on your show with you. I appreciate coming on, and I look forward to our conversation we're going to have here.
Well, tonight, we have to mention the faggoty Republican debates. I guess that's going on tonight, probably as we're talking now. So Trump is skipping that, and he's supposed to be meeting with the United Auto Workers, and they're not having any of that. But let me just get your quick take before we go into more important things on the Republican thing that's going on, the debates and the candidates. Who do you think are going to be emerging, Democrat and Republican side, coming up in 2024? Because it's kind of up in the air.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is a very interesting question, Jeremy, on several levels. But, you know, I think it's very fitting that the second debate is happening at the Ronald Reagan Library, because the Republican Party is really trapped in the 1980s. It's one of their real problems. Especially something like Mike Pence is like in a time warp. This guy is so boring and completely out of touch with, you know, America and what's actually going on right now. It's pathetic. And I think part of the reason why the Republicans are so trapped in the 1980s, they're clinging on to this idea that we have to let the free market decide everything because that's how America is. And that sounds great, but the problem is we no longer are operating under the forces of a free market economy anymore. Someone needs to come out and say that. We're not. We're heading towards an oligarchy. We're headed towards monopolistic capitalism and predatory capitalism and disaster capitalism, but most importantly, monopolistic capitalism. And so, like, a good example of how the free market forces are no longer operating is the housing market. You know, you've got these huge companies, BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street, buying up houses and properties all across the country with cash, and you've got the interest rates, you know, above 7%, yet the cost of these houses has not dropped at all. In fact, it's stayed steady and even gone up in some areas. That is not how a free market should be operating. So they're stuck in this false paradigm that just doesn't exist anymore, and that's one reason why the Democrats, unfortunately, seem to do better. Because at least they offer free stuff, and you know, which I don't support, but they offer goodies to the public that's very appealing. Every one of these candidates is terrible, Jeremy. And just depends on which way you want to look at it. On the first debate, Vivek Ramaswamy was clearly the winner, and I was just watching the debate before the show here. He was kind of just wrapping up, and they all looked terrible, to be honest. I don't even know what this. What's his name? Burgum. I don't even know why he's there. A guy has no voice, votes. You know, Nikki Haley was caught in three different sexual scandals. That's never talked about. Three different men came forward, said they had affairs with her. Quite credible claims, in my view. And that matters. It does matter. And just lastly, just to wrap up my little analysis of this, Jeremy, one reason that Trump is absent from these debates, which I think is smart. This is such a second string bench warmer operation here. It's pathetic. But also, you know, Trump has refused to sign the pledge that he'll support whoever the eventual nominee is. And if you look at the small print, it says whoever the Republican Party determines to be the nominee, not the voting necessarily, but whoever the Republican Party says. And as you recall, we all learned in the 2016 campaign with Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders that these national committees are private entities. They can do whatever they want. They have their own rules. They are not legally bound to the votes of the people.
Brokered convention, maybe, for the Republican Party denying Trump the nomination, possibly, if they want to cut their own throats, that is.
Oh, yeah, they'd absolutely be cutting their own throats. It would be the end of the party. And I think that's actually possible, Jeremy. I think they might end up doing that simply because, you know, Trump is, I mean, I'm not a Trump fan personally. I have my reasons for that. But they're, I don't believe they're going to, the Republican Party will allow him to be the nominee. And, you know, Asa Hutchinson, who got, didn't make the cut this time, even alluded to, and so did Christie, alluded to the idea that, well, you know, there's already rules in place in the committee that says that Trump cannot be the nominee because of his legal problems.
This is something I discussed with Patrick Slattery. We could be looking at a possibility of a third party for the first time in over 100 years.
The Who third do you party, think that would be?
I mean, you know, if they denied Trump, he could start a third party and, you know, 60 million of the electorate would go for it. In theory, I don't know that that would happen.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's certainly a possibility. The problem I see with that, though, is that, you know, I believe that Trump has angered some very, very powerful people behind the scenes, I think for a variety of reasons. And I don't think there's any way he walks from all 91 charges. I mean, look at these. I mean, they're all bogus. Don't get me wrong. These charges are absurd. You know, every president takes home, you know, papers from the White House, formerly classified papers, as mementos from their time as president. They all do it. It's not even a chargeable offense, frankly. It's like a violation of the Archives Act. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. But these people want Trump's head on a platter. And look what's going on in New York with these charges of, you know, manipulating the values of his properties, and they're talking about seizing properties. I mean, this is really what we're dealing with, a completely weaponized legal system, Jeremy. I don't think there's any way to predict what they're going to do.
A lot of it on the state level, which would stop a presidential pardon of whoever gets in. If I understand correctly, they cannot pardon him on state level charges. It has to be federal level. So,
yes.
Yeah, I mean, the whole purpose of this, I guess, is to stop or to impede his campaign. Obviously, as much as we disagree with Trump and you know, recognize that he did not fulfill any of his promises, and you could even go into the weeds of him being controlled. I'm not even going to go there. I'm just going to say that he didn't fulfill his promises. As much as we would go there, he still is the face of white America. And that's how the Jewish-dominated system sees him, as the face of white America. That's how white Americans see him. And he has this cult of personality following. I mean, literally, he said it. He could go in the street and shoot someone and still be supported. He said that.
Yeah.
I don't know, just 7 years ago.
Well,
but
I think
not
there's
wrong.
Truth in, I think there's truth in what you're saying, Jeremy. You know, I guess there's two ways to look at this. Like, we don't know for sure if Trump is sincere or not. I don't believe that he is, just because he pushed the vaccine and some other things. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, that he is. I don't even think it's possible to fulfill the promises he made, given the way the government actually operates. The way that this system operates in reality is very different than what people think.
That's true. Let's just suppose we get someone in. Let's say it's Trump and he's totally legit. There's so much, like, he demonstrated, his presidency demonstrated that the power of the president is really just limited to a figurehead. I mean, one federal judge anywhere in any state can do a national injunction and stop executive orders for months and months at a time till it goes to SCOTUS. So it's not like he can just get in office and make all these changes. Or anybody. It's not like anyone can do that, no matter who the president is. So that's true. I wanted to mention this particular article I pulled up on NBC News. Trump was going to meet with, or he's supposed to be meeting with, the UAW workers. You know, you've got this United Auto Workers strike. And the president's former, the president of the UAW is refusing to meet with him, Sean Fain. United Auto Workers, Sean Fain, is making clear that he does not plan to meet with Trump. So they're recognizing that he did not do anything for workers during his stint as presidency. As much support as he has, there's a lot of people who are not forgetting what he didn't do when he was in office. So,
well, yeah, I think that's a kind of interesting question here. You know, I think that what's also is going on is that the unions are compromised. They're corrupt, because I don't see how you can have a union, a so-called union, that supports a president who is allowed completely open borders, because, you know, you don't have to be an economic, you know, theorist or a genius to understand that if you let in more people, you destroy the value of labor. That's precisely what's happening. So these unions are corrupt. They're filled to the coffers with so-called Democrat money. And the idea that Joe Biden was on the picket lines, I mean, this is the most absurd thing I've ever seen, because this, you know, this whole mandate towards electric vehicles is going to destroy the American auto industry one way or another. Because you're handing over really all of the raw materials you need, and the batteries and some of the components for these cars are all made in China. So the it's going to complete the transition of moving all the industry to China. And it's a really very sad state of affairs. And the very fact that the auto workers are striking for a 40% pay raise, which, you know, I support, because frankly, that only reflects the tremendous cost of living increase that we've endured over the last 4 to 5 years.
But let's get into the weeds of that a bit. And I too support workers. I mean, they should be getting more, but when you're talking about moving these auto workers from 65 an hour to 130 an hour, which I believe is in the neighborhood of what they're demanding, can you imagine the cost of a brand new pickup truck? And I mentioned pickup trucks because that's what I use in my business as a commercial painter, and many other people in the tri-state, Tennessee, Kentucky, Missouri, they use pickup trucks. A brand new pickup truck, you're running $70,000 or $80,000. If you increase these workers' wages, you're going to double the cost of the vehicle. No one can afford that. We can't really afford it now. When I bought my brand new 07 Dodge Ram in 2007, it was $32,000. To replace that truck now would be 70-something thousand. You know, I can't afford that. I'm driving a used truck. So it's almost – let's get into the weeds of this. So this whole strike, and it's a win-win for the green movement, right? Because if the strike fails and they, you know, they can implement electric vehicle factories all over, then they get their green agenda. If the strike is successful, no one can afford a new vehicle, and they'll still get what they want. You see what I mean? It's like a win-win green agenda.
I agree. Yeah, I agree absolutely. Of course, we need to not only look at the pay of the workers, let's look at the pay of the CEOs, the top executives, and all the management. You know, the average pay for a CEO was around $30 million a year plus stock options. So that's excessive. And then all the upper echelon are making, you know, lower than that, but still in the millions, 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 all the way down the food chain into mid-management. So we need to look at that too. But you're right. That is an impossible figure. And either way, they lose. And I'll tell you, this strike is fake anyway, because they're doing targeted shutdowns. They're not really hitting the industry where it's actually going to hurt. They're going to shut down a plant here and maybe lower the number of workers to another one. It's really just a show. And unfortunately, it's a fait accompli. The auto industry is moving to China. And that's just the long and short of it, because of this electric car scheme. And, you know, both, you know, isn't it interesting that all of the, these companies, Ford and GM, Chrysler, they've all made the pledge, and they're supposedly competing with each other. We have a free market, don't you know? They've all made the pledge to stop building gasoline-powered cars, I believe, by it's either 2030 or 2035, one of the two. Yeah. So isn't it interesting that you've got competing companies all agreeing to the same mandates? Something's wrong here, and we don't have the free market that we think we do.
It's, you look at it from the 30,000-foot view, and they're going to implement the electric vehicles one way or the other. Whether the workers get their money and they make it so you can't afford a gasoline vehicle. Because, you know, that's one of the criticisms of the electric vehicles, is they're so expensive. But if this strike is successful, gasoline brand new vehicles will be way more or equivalent to what you would pay for an electric vehicle. I think I'm with you on this. I wouldn't even be surprised if there's, the green agenda people have insiders in the strike pushing it, because they win no matter what. They're going to implement their electric vehicle factories, and they're going to be made overseas. You mentioned China.
I agree that it's a fait accompli, Jeremy, either way. And, you know, there's already something like an $8,000 subsidy for these electric vehicles. They're offering free charging for a year with some of them. And the long and short of it is, once they make this transition, our power grid is not going to withstand the increased need of electricity, not even close. And so we're going to have a situation where electricity becomes very, very high. You're going to have a limit on what you're allowed to use. And it's really going to be an absolute disaster. And you know, in California, they've already passed some law where you can't build any more new gas stations in the state. So think about that.
You could easily double your home electric bill when they get these electric vehicle factories. You can very easily double what you pay for electricity in your residence, which a lot of people are struggling right now to just pay their regular electric bill. It's almost as if what it looks like to me is they don't want vehicles for regular people. They want to, you know, introduce these smart cities, public transport, walking, and the vehicles are just going to be for the very, very wealthy elites. What it looks like.
I agree. Same with air travel. That's slated for destruction as well. It's on its way. You've seen the introduction of these little scooters people are riding everywhere, and electric bikes, and I've even seen people on electric unicycles. I mean, these are, and it's all young people, of course, because they can't, you know, afford the exorbitant price of these cars. And, just imagine when you've got all these electric cars on the road and they all have to charge at some charging station for like 45 minutes. I mean, think of the logistics of this. It's absurd, and it's designed to fail. It's designed to be nothing but problems.
Meanwhile, they're bombarding the southern border with endless migration. We'll cover that on the other side of the break, coming up on the 20-minute break. So back on the other side with immigration news, Jeremy here on Influence Side with special guest David Scorpion.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Ciroc grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Taken office. And let's just bottom line, and it's all about white genocide. And so, you know, you got Hot Wheels in Texas, Abbott, and you got Israel First, DeSantis over in Florida. And their answer to this is just ship these migrants into America, into the Democrat cities to own the libs. But at the end of the day, it's all about white genocide. The genocide of white European peoples, the people that founded the stock of this nation, that founded it, they're wanting to get rid of us. And that's the bottom line. But you've had stories of schools in New York City where students couldn't get in their schools to have classes because migrants were living there. They're giving these migrants, you know, five-star hotels and $2,200 a month. It's crazy. Most people that max out on Social Security, most boomers aren't even getting that. I mean, they're getting less than $2,000 a month in their Social Security that they work for their whole lives. You know, they pulled themselves up by their bootstraps and all of that. And now these migrants are getting more than them. It's really crazy. What do you get on this, David? So the migrant crisis, Southern invasion, white genocide.
Well, it's hard to argue with anything you said there, Jeremy. And it's funny how the word illegal alien is sort of dropped out of the vocabulary. Now it's migrants. You know, everyone says that. I've caught myself doing it too. And it's funny how people call them invaders. But in a way, that's not even an accurate term. I mean, they're invaders in a certain sense because the populace don't want them here. But the governments are willing participants. They're helping and facilitating this. The Border Patrol has become a welcoming committee and a facilitator for processing migrants as they come in to give them Obama phones and other stuff. So, look, let's be honest. Demographics are the destiny of a country. That's the bottom line. And when you change the demographics, you change the destiny of a country, and you're destroying the country from within, taking it down to a third world country status. And that is exactly what they're doing, Jeremy.
You look at even a small town, Mayfield, Kentucky, my hometown, where the great tornado hit 2 years ago. It's in the 80s, it was more like Mayberry, Kentucky, because it was sort of like a 1960s America atmosphere as I grew up as a child in the 1980s. And even this town, when you look at daycares and elementary schools, you're looking at 70% non-white. It's crazy. Now, you get into the rural country schools and in the county schools, you know, and you got more whites. But that's increasingly changing as these farmers and contractors bring in all of these Mexicans to do the jobs that Americans won't do. It's really sickening. But again, looking at this thing from the 30,000 foot view, these cities, even white liberals who would have BLM signs and immigrants welcome mentalities, even they're fleeing the cities. Even white liberals in New York and Chicago are saying it's too much. And you've got this white flight to rural areas. And so as the federal government increasingly is not legitimized inside of the public and inside of the states, and as states, as cities, big cities are being inundated with the third world, they're going to collapse, and you're going to get the situation where you have whites, conservatives and liberals in these rural areas getting away from this. And then so what's the next step as America breaks down? How is that going to look? The cities are going to be pretty much unlivable, and you'll have all these whites in the rural areas. Are we looking at a South African situation coming up soon, David?
Sir, my message is simple. Naggers, Jews, homosexuals, Mexicans, Arabs, and all kinds of different chanks stink, and I hate it.
David, your comments.
That was me, actually. No, just kidding. good drop there, Mike. Nice timing. I'm deeply offended, though. No, but, you know, unfortunately, I think the South Africa scenario is somewhat accurate. But, of course, America, as we know it, is going to be this amalgamation of all kinds of unrelated people who don't like each other. Whereas, you know, South Africa, it's almost all blacks, then a small minority of whites that are despised and hated by the blacks. But I think it's going to get real interesting, Jeremy, when I believe Trump is going to be ousted from the Republican Party, or possibly even incarcerated in some way. And not that I want that to happen or I think it's just, I don't. But when one of those scenarios happens, either he is not allowed to become the nominee, or he's actually put in some type of federal holding facility, like in The Godfather, where they have that witness protection guy at a military base. When that happens, America is going to see the federal government is illegitimate. The majority of people will actually see it as illegitimate. And from there, who knows what's going to happen. We'll be in totally uncharted territory at that point, Jeremy.
Real talk.
Back on the side.
Because you can handle the truth.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say. Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It just was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation. But today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC.
1-877-928-8822. Jeremy here and David Scorpio on Republic Broadcasting Network talking about immigration. A few years ago, the street defecating homo prime minister of Ireland vowed to bring 1 million migrants of the third world into Ireland with a population of less than 6 million white Irish people. And he's making good on his promises. Ireland's population and my website just totally crashed. Okay, here we go. Ireland's population surges after the highest immigration figure in almost 2 decades. This would be equivalent to the population of the United States increasing by 7 million a year and Germany by 1.7 million a year. Republic of Ireland's population has grown by 2% in a year after 141,600 migrants entered the country between April of 22 and April of 23, the highest total in a 12-month period. You know, they've totally just completely destroyed Ireland. Ireland's totally woke. They're getting rid of all of their Catholic policies of anti-abortion. They're getting rid of all their Christian moral values, and they're bringing in these third worlders at a rate that's going to cause white genocide in Ireland at 5 or 6 times the amount that it is in America or other European cities. David, do you have someone, you mentioned someone that you know that lives in Ireland. Can you give a personal testimony on this?
Well, yeah, actually, I have two friends that live in Ireland that I've known for quite some time. And I've heard stories from them of, the government bring busloads of blacks into small cities in the middle of the night. That's what's going on. And they're putting up these migrants in, very expensive hotels, giving them the best of everything. And it really is, it's kind of like Lampedusa on a larger scale. You know, they love to use islands as testing grounds to see what happens. What happens when you actually overwhelm the native population with migrants who are orc-like in their behavior and appearance?
It's really sad. I'm an Irishman, full-blooded. I've done the whole genetic thing, traced the Y chromosomes of the firstborn male. You know, my dad and my mom are Irish. My dad's father and his mother were Irish, and on down the line. And I've always wanted to go back to the homeland. And in the early aughts, the early 2000s, I would watch Rick Steves Europe. I really loved that show. And I liked Rick Steves. I'm sure he's a liberal son of a bitch, but his programs were very good. You go back 15 years ago, and he did a lot of documentaries on Europe and Ireland in particular. And it was just so beautiful and white, and the culture was just so wonderful. And now all of that's destroyed. I don't even want to go visit now because they were full on board with the COVID. They're full on board with migration from the third world. And I was even in Irish Heritage online forums where you would think you could brag and talk about your Irish heritage. But no, these people on these forums are telling me, David, that blacks from the third world that migrated there and got citizenship, they're Irish and I'm not, because my family's lived in America for 300 years. Even white people that has Irish descent, they're not Irish, but these blacks are. That's really just disgusting. And I had to get off of these forums. So, I mean, the Irish people are done. Ireland's done. And I don't even want to visit it now.
Well, it's sad. It is tragic. And we're like cousins because, you know, my mother's side of the family are Scottish and my father's side are Welsh. So we're just close neighbors there. But, yeah, it's tragic. And they're rewriting history. And this is treasonous. These governments are all in on it. We already have a world government installed. They just haven't told us yet, basically, is what's going on here, guys.
Let's go to the call screen, 512-248-8252, if you want to weigh in on the discussion. We've got Lark in Texas coming up first. Lark in Texas, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Howdy, guys. You paint a pretty bleak picture, and yet I can't help but think that we probably need to grasp at a few more pieces of the puzzle so that we can begin to determine exactly where we're at. Because in some cases, it's worse than even we imagine, and as you two have laid out tonight. But at the same time, if we keep flailing about in the dark, we're not going to be able to call anybody out on their malfeasance and their treason and everything else. But I don't know if you all are familiar with something called transportation as a service. You can look that up. It's called TAAS, Transportation as a Service. And maybe you haven't heard or have heard of something called ESG scoring. That's environmental, social, governance. All the corporations, the big corporations, the medium corporations are in on it today because they have to be. Because it's the new economy that's coming to view, and there isn't any one of these candidates that's going to spell this out. They're just not. You know, people like that Indian guy, he knows what's going on. Donald Trump knows what's going on. Most of these people are really not the best people to even articulate what's going on, even if they were to tell the American people. But, you know, when we talk about social impact financing and investing, that's what we're talking about, is this new economy. You might remember George Bush Sr. talked about the 1,000 points of light, right? And he heralded in the New World Order, something like 10 or 11 years before 9/11. Now, this is a guy that was a former head of the CIA. He kind of knew what was going on. He went to Yale. You know, his idiot son, he knew what was going on too, but he wasn't very articulate, and so he just allowed himself to be led because it was expected of him. But this Points of Light Foundation is a nonprofit. It still exists. And so if you, for example, were just to go visit the website for that, you're going to find out that really all the language that they're employing is the same language that you see at all the banks, all your, you know, top 50 corporations. It doesn't matter. Just pick a corporation. The language is harmonious with itself. But that's what's happening. There's another guy to look up is a guy named Sir Ronald Cohen. That's the name, Sir Ronald Cohen. He's the guy that is said to be the father of the social impact bond, SIB. Now, this is where these people are basically gambling based on a set of metrics, because really where it's all going is that no one's going to work for money, okay? It's going to be a volunteering economy. It's going to be unpaid labor in service to the SDGs or the sustainable development goals that all the nations of the world have signed on to. And so you're going to have things like you're going to be working for tokens and rewards, and companies are going to be rewarded by how their staff adheres to what's called reputation capital. It's all changing. And so that's what really needs to be talked about, because it is a huge change in our lives. The idea of working to get so that you can buy something that you want, that's all going by the wayside. And we need to understand and get to the bottom of it. And I'll just leave you all with just a couple of things that you can investigate on your own. There's a woman on YouTube named Kate Mason that will spell out for you what a social impact bond is and how it works. You can go to something on Rumble called Niles Talks, N-I-L-E-S, like the river with an S. You can go on YouTube to Julianne Romanello's website. It's called Hearts Over Hexagons. She's a political science and philosophy professor, She's raising four children now. Lives in Tulsa, Oklahoma. But I could go on and on. If you really want to get the straight skinny on what's going on in Ireland, I've got a couple of friends that have visited recently. I've got some friends in Ireland. Perhaps you, David, know of Breiser over in Ireland. He'd be happy to come on and tell you, firsthand what's going on in Ireland. I know people in Scotland. There's people I know in the Philippines, in Canada. It's all over the world, but there's a lot of conversations that are not happening on RBN, and that's the only reason that I stay in people's faces after all these years, and on my next birthday, I'll be 70 years old. You know, you younger guys, you guys need to pick up the pace, and we need to get some people in their 20s and their teens involved in this, in these discussions, because they have the most to lose. They got their whole lives ahead of them. So forgive me for stopping in and saying these things, but go ahead.
No, leave those contacts with Mike in the control room, and I'll be glad to get people. I would love to get people on the show that are in Ireland, that are in Europe, that can attest to this. So mobility as a service, this idea of shifting away from privately owned conveyance to state-owned conveyance, this is in the scheme of things. As cities collapse, they're going to be building smart cities. And it's interesting that the two leading Republican candidates, Trump and Vivek Ramaswamy, these guys are CEOs. You know, they're not politicians per se. That's sort of the way that they're pushing things. David, let me get your comments on Lark's call, and then we'll move to the next.
Well, good call, Lark. And I've known Breiser for like 10 years. He's a good guy. He used to do a lot of podcasts and stuff. But, Cohen sounds like an Irish name, or maybe it's South Korean. No, maybe not. But, look, here's what I see. These corporations are owned by far fewer people than we think. This club, this cabal, whatever you want to call it, has ownership of all of the major corporations through shell companies, LLCs, and other devices to make it look like it's in all these different people's hands, when in fact it's not. And that's why they're able to do things in such unison, because they own it all right now. And that's why we don't have a free market any longer.
No, you're absolutely correct in that assessment. And remember, this Indian guy, whatever, I can't even think of his name half the time, he made his money in biotech and, you know, the tech industry. You know, so when we talk about the new economy based around ESG scoring, environmental, social, governance, and we're talking about social impact bonds, and we're talking about data as the new, that's the new money, is data. Because really what it boils down to is really very simple. It's called social engineering as a service. And that's what's coming down the pike. And I would urge anyone listening to me tonight to, I mean, we need some smart guys like you guys in the fight. I'm not that smart. I'm just a guy that's, you know, been out of the system for a long time. I've had a lot of time to read. Most people don't have that opportunity. I haven't had to work since 2008. All I want to do is help. We've got to have honest discussions. But that's where it's going, guys. It's social engineering as a service. And trust me, our addiction to this, these grin technologies, genetics, robotics, information, and nanotech is going to spell our doom. Because why do you think that there's huge contracts to be able to control the students in public schools and in universities, any large institution, the military, you name it, the healthcare industry, the legal industry, all these people are held captive. In fact, the CIA has got a name for it. It's called deep capture. And that's where we are as a people. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for your call. Thanks, Lark. We got Mike in Kentucky, Dan in Washington, Holden. Let's go to Mike in Kentucky. Mike, welcome to the show. What do you got for today?
Well, you guys were talking about pickup trucks and the cost there. Have you ever heard of the chicken tax? We're talking about that tornado. It took out a lot of hatcheries and stuff like that, and it drove up the price of chicken. There is a chicken tax. Literally, that's what it's called.
The tornado took out a major chicken feed installation. And so all of the farmers had to get their feed from other states. And I've had people even tell me that that tornado was, you know, engineered by the government, by HARP or whatever, controls the weather.
Hard to know. Hard to know what they're able to do. But 1964, there was a 25% tax put on pickup trucks as tit-for-tat revenge because, and it was called the chicken tax. I forget what country it was. You can just look it up. But it's never been, and this is typical of government, once they get a tax on something, you good luck getting rid of that tax. So just like the average 2022, average transaction on a new pickup truck was $59,000. Now, if you multiply that by 0.75 to take off that 25% chicken tax, it's $44,250. That's still ridiculous. But pickup trucks have gained anywhere from 400 to 1,300 pounds in weight. They just keep getting bigger, and that's supposedly all customer demand. But I heard a perspective on the Internet, one of the YouTube millionaires, I won't mention his name, but he's saying that there's no incentive for the automakers to make a plain old basic pickup truck anymore because of so much environmental surcharge taxes on these things. So that, you know, they make them bigger and heavier, and it's kind of like transitioning to the weight of these electric and hybrid trucks. They're going to be, I think the F-150 Lightning is something crazy like 7,500 pounds. 7,500 pounds for that truck because of the battery. So you do have a couple of options. I mean, there's a thing, it's supposedly technically not a pickup truck. I think it's basically a pickup version of the Bronco called the Maverick. It's a unibody construction. And I guess if you can find one, they're hard to find, but they're $22,000, and it's a hybrid. So the trucks have gotten way more complicated than they used to be. You know, just finding a basic throttle body engine you know, without turbos and everything on it is impossible. So, you know, you want a pickup truck supposedly that gets 42 miles to the gallon, it's the Ford Maverick, but it's technically not a pickup truck. And none of the small imported trucks that are being manufactured around the world will bother with the American market because there's a 25% tariff on there. European companies imposed tariffs on the American exported chicken. So the United States introduced that retaliatory tariff in 1964, and it's been on there ever since.
I see that in chicken tax, a tariff on 25% on white truck imports. Here's my question. Most farmers in my area get tax-free no matter what they buy. I mean, all of their trucks and tractors and whatnot, they're tax-free. They're, you know, government supplemented or whatever. So you got that. So this chicken tax is pretty much on non-farmers, I guess is what I'm getting.
Well, yeah. It's going to be on everybody else that wants a pickup truck, and it'll be like a tradesman like yourself, unless you've got farm tags somehow. You've got the federal farm ID you have to get, and you have they've started tightening the screws on that. I think you have to have so many acres before you can declare yourself a farm and get farm tags. And
if you
have farm tags and you're a tradesman like yourself, you're limited in how far you can drive with those farm tags. Loggers, you know, people doing log trucks, you know, they're not supposed to go certain distances with their logs. I think they probably work around that because I can't believe how far some of these loggers are hauling their logs. But it depends on who they're working for. If they're working for a state senator or, you know, higher up, you know, the company that they're working for is actually connected to Frankfurt, they probably just... DOT says, oh, you work for them. Go on.
Yeah. Let's kick it, Dave, and then we got Dan Holding.
Sure.
Dave, yeah. Comments on this?
Hey, another good call. You've got some intelligent listeners there, certainly, Jeremy. And, I would just say this, that this goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning of the program, making these vehicles very complicated and with lots of stuff on them you don't really need. So they become very expensive, so less and less people can afford them. And also, you can't work on your own car anymore like the old days. You know, you think about how simple automobiles were back in the like 1970s even. You could you didn't have to be an expert and have a computer to work on your own car. And this has been a deliberate strategy, same with tractors. John Deere has done this, so you can't work on your own tractor. And again, it's all part of the strategy to make it very difficult for the average person to buy a personal vehicle, and that's going to only continue as we move forward into this new system that Lark was referring to.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. We got Dan on hold still. If you want to hold on, Mike, we'll bring Dan on. Dan in Washington, you're on with Mike in Kentucky, David Scorpio in Jeremy. Go ahead, Dan.
Okay. Yeah, I was actually looking at a Ford Maverick the other day. It's the only one that starts under $30,000, you know, but they're in such high demand, you got to, like, order them a year ahead. You can't even hardly go test drive one. It's the only one that makes affordable economic sense. The rest, I saw a Ford extended cab. It was about $80,000. I can't believe it. But real quick, I had some friends in college from Norway, and he made a point telling me that, the Turkish guy from Norway was Norwegian too, and someone from Denmark said the same thing. They got all these Europeans not looking at themselves as a tribe or a race, just a country, you know, like America. It's part of the Zog propaganda, NATO diversity. The only suggestion is Bob Whitaker, the mantra. If you look up the mantra, Tim Murdoch did a good video on it on White Rabbit Radio. there's a few talking points. All you need to do is learn these talking points. Diversity equals white genocide. Anti-racism is code word for anti-white. And when you get in these discussions with people from Ireland or whoever, these libtards, or they're usually from really white areas, just drop these talking points. Otherwise, you're going to depress yourself and you're going to get in endless stupid debates. Just drop these talking points, and the goal is to make them think about it. You know, and eventually they will sink in. But if they're that brainwashed, that's about all you can really do. So I try to just stick to these talking points. You know, go ahead.
That's true. These people, they're in Ireland. They live in Ireland. They're white people. And they're telling me that these blacks that have gained citizenship are Irish. And I'm not. And I'm like, look, people, my ancestors like fought the Vikings in 1000 AD. Like, what are you talking about?
Right.
And you just can't debate with them. They're too far gone. They're all about where you were born. And that's a sad part of the American experience, because Americanism in the early 1900s took away our individual European identities, German, French, Irish. It took that away. You're all Americans, right? And so they just transitioned that into brown third worlders coming in, and these people are Americans if they gain citizenship, and especially if they're born there. And so it was sort of a way to deconstruct European nationality and ethnicity. Let's get David's comments real quick.
Oh, absolutely. Another excellent call. And, you know, you're right about America sort of doing that. And, you know, if you read the book, The Secret Destiny of America by Manly P. Hall, you know, if you read between the lines, he reveals all this in that book. He does it in a sort of an occult way. But, you know, this has been the plan since the very beginning. And this is no accident. And we have unfortunately, Americans have a real misunderstanding of what America was intended to be right from the very beginning, unfortunately.
Yeah. You got to stay classy.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.